what up, it's Force of Philip on the track, yo. There's a new queen in this game. She go by the name St. Catherine.
Miracle trigger on the stack, I'm casting it. Just like time St. Catherine's happening. 5-5 life link, think I'll flash it in. Trying for the truth, we both voracious. Oops, my B, I meant voracious. Honestly, my deck's predacious. My miracles are so salacious. Get your heart in public, ostentatious. 40k, that's Warhammer. In the church of Force of Fill, they clamor for his deck list, cause they're so enamored, cause it mashes like the Brits that's bangers. I correctly cast predictor plan to kind of balance all your tricks you jam. Determine this, your boy, your lands are stranded. I'll throw at your face and then I'll snap a candid. Presidium protective. That's St. Catherine's flavor feature. Shuffle sick cards right underneath her. She's Ethereum, I'm Tez the Seeker. I'm Botticelli, she's Primavera. I'm Monet, she's for Libagella. I'm Renoir, she's Grenoble. I'm Matisse, she's Bernal de Vivre. I'm Goya, she's Tormachia. I'm Van Gogh, she's Mona Lisa. I'm Rembrandt, she's the Thunder Bearer. I'm Dubs on Twitch, she's the Pain Slayer. Warhammer, those were art bars. Like an artist, I draw cards. Illustrator, I'm illustrious. I'm a writer, here's a plot twist. Miracle St. Catherine, like a javelin to the abdomen. In the top sedan, she's a deadly sin. She'll string you out like a violin. She's sticky like a goblin. On the battlefield, she's residing in. No denying it or defying it. Time to resign the game and sign the slip. She'll beat you down with a cape and shield. She'll steal your life and then make you feel so sad and lonely and so defeated. You'll beg for mercy, wish you'd conceded. But you had your chance, that's in the past. This game was over when it came to pass. Your fate was sealed right from the start when I miracled this work of art. Miracle St. Catherine, by design, she's so sublime. Turning water into wine, she overhauled the archetype. Haters try to deny the hype, but triumph shrugs it off like she's kryptonite. And you're Superman with your stupid plan. She'll make you resign like you're Vince McMahon. She'll make you tap with a sharpshooter. Best there was, best there is. And while you're a loser, rock bottom you straight through the basement. She'll stone cold stun you to your grave since she's MTG's new Undertaker. Tombstone you, that's a neck breaker. Triumph's the truth is an understatement. She saw the flare, it's second nature. She's Triple H, she's taking over. She's Dean Malenko with the four-leaf clover. She's bold, weird, intimidator. And you're a coward who can't block her either. She's future. Like unprecedented, you can call her Garrett, cause she's relentless. She'll break your teeth, send you to the dentist. You're a partisan, she's an independent. A triumph is a funeral, a procession so beautiful. A lingo's a little unusual, but I'll still outplay you inscrutable. Magic, the gathering is not magic. St. Catherine, the red zone's a labyrinth for your creatures, inadequate. Miracle St. Catherine, like a javelin to the abdomen. In the top sedan, she's a deadly sin. She'll string you out like a violin. She's sticky like a goblin on the battlefield. She's residing in, no denying it or defying it. Time to resign the game and sign the slip. She'll beat you down with a cape and shield. She'll steal your life and then make you feel so sad and lonely and so defeated. You'll beg for mercy, wish you'd conceded. But you had your chance, that's in the past. This game was over when it came to pass. Your fate was sealed right from the start when I miracled this work of art.
There's a new queen in this game. She go by the name. What it do?
Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark, and with me as always, Phil Blackman. Phil, how's it going, man?
Dude, it's going good. You want to tell me about the sweater that you're wearing?
Oh, dude, this is my Christmas vacation sweater, man. The jolliest Christmas bunch vacation. Of assholes this side of the nut house.
Man, is that our next merch item?
You got your nog? Your nog
got
guy
your nog.
Here?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, got your nog.
Yeah, man. You know, it's the Jelly of the Month Club, the gift that keeps on giving, right?
Bro, we need to start Eternal Dirtles Jelly of the Month Club. Where, you know, we give you that's a magic cool. card and a jam.
I mean, this episode obviously is going to be about our misadventures at Eternal Weekend, I think.
Our misadventures, our adventures. And I think first things first, we should just start off with anybody who tuned into Eternal Weekend. As everybody should, we should give our shout outs and our appreciation to Anurag for doing all of the work to do coverage for that event. The amount of work that went into securing the ability to both do the coverage and the cost of doing coverage and all of the things in between that he had to field in order to make it happen. And now it's, you know, we forever have that Eternal Weekend coverage. You know, we wouldn't have had if it wasn't for him, you know, taking the hit on both doing all of that work and all of that effort and also not playing in the event himself. You know, that is something that
move when you're that, like, I mean, I'm so invested in the community that I'm not going to play in the event and make sure that other people can enjoy it.
Yeah, man. Eternal Weekend is one of the biggest events that Eternal players get to look forward to every year when it's around. You know, like, it's the only time where Sanctioned Vintage is really in play all that much outside of like Gen Con. And then for Legacy, it's one of the without Legacy GPs, really, It's one of the main big legacy events outside of like Legacy Pit or an SCG Con that actually holds weight, that actually matters, you know?
Yeah.
So the fact that he went in knowing that he was not going to be able to play any Magic, travel to the event, but not actually play any Magic for stakes, you know, hats off to Anurag. And I hope everyone can continue to help supporting him so we can keep getting more coverage.
Speaking of supporting, let's real quick talk about our sponsored Moxfield.com.
What is Moxfield.com, Zach?
Moxfield.com. I'm glad you asked, Phil. Moxfield.com is a wonderful deck building website that you can use to build all your legacy decks, all of your commander decks, extended. We still play extended. Pre-modern. They support pre-modern. I played a lot of pre-modern this weekend. I was able to just share some decks with people that way. But anyhow, it works on your PC. It works on your Mac. It works right from your browser, so you don't need an app. Although I think they're working on an app. And also, they're working on like a sort of social media thing for Magic the Gathering. A lot of cool stuff's going on over at Moxfield.com. So check it out at Moxfield.com. Links to our deck lists are below. We've got Phil's. We've got mine. We've even got the podcasts, because that's now a sentient creature. The podcast has gained sentience. And it has its own deck lists as well.
Nowadays, I use Moxfield so much that I look forward to having an app, because right now I leave it open in my web browser on my phone because exactly. I'm making changes all the time as I have ideas. And I mean, if anybody wants to see the miracles list that I've been running, I've been updating it pretty much live anytime I know that I'm going to make some changes to try out for the next event that I play in. And, you know, for a control deck, it's not like, you know, Delver, where a card or two may change trying to shore up like one particular matchup. Like a control deck's got to change its numbers based on the meta it anticipates. And right now with Initiative, it's a whole different beast.
Things have
changed. We'll get into that, because Initiative was a hell of a deck in both Legacy and Vintage at Eternal Weekend.
So, let's talk about, I guess let's go right into talking about the main events. We both played in the Legacy event. I'll start out my weekend and we'll merge into your weekend real fast. So it was a 4-day event. I signed up for the Play All Weekend badge, which was, I only expected to be there 2 days, but I ended up there 3 days. So that paid for your entire weekend to like enter the event, because enter the venue, I should say, not enter the events. The main event still cost me $60. So it was $100 to get this Play All Weekend badge. And then there were certain events that you would play in for free during the weekend. So I knew I was really only going to play on Saturday. So I was like, well, if I play in 3 events and I only go 2 days, then I'm square. Like I've gotten my money back. So I did that. And I was able to do that. So I arrived there on Saturday, immediately found Phil. Or sorry, on Friday, immediately found Phil, and I think we all just went for some side events initially.
Yeah, I think that the when I first saw Eternal Weekend, I was like, oh man, there's a cover charge just to get in the door, and I was like, all right, well, you know, if rent is going to be expensive, but then afterwards, when I learned that really they're just asking you to pay up front for side events that. Yeah. That you then get to play. So like if you paid for a $40 game pass, you got 2 vouchers. An
important note, I didn't realize when I bought the Play All Weekend badge, you get like side event passes when you pay up front, right?
Yeah. Now granted, like the side events pay out in tickets for the prize wall. And so, you know, the side event pricing sucks. But at the same time, like whatever, we're playing some paper Magic, and I was happy to, like, you know, it's like rather than it just be a straight cover charge, I was happy to be able to go and, you know, just hand over a ticket voucher or whatever to play some side events after I scrubbed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I ended up starting out off the day playing some pre-modern. I played Stasis in pre-modern, went 2-1.
Dude, you gotta share. So everybody go look at Zach's socials after you listen to this. Zach, you gotta share the fuck Stasis picture.
yeah, it's true. I'll show that. Yeah, my opponent. So in round one, there was some mix up with the posting stuff and the app wasn't working. Man, the MTG Melee app is a disaster. But after they got that working, they realized that the instead of telling me where to go, they had just had me standing on the side. So they real quick got everything sorted. About 20 minutes into the tournament, they gave my opponent and myself a bye. Okay. So we still played. He was on I forget what he was on now. I want to say it was like the a rock style deck, and I just crushed him. I just like Stasis happens, done. Yeah, it's thwart dazed make Stasis so much easier to play, and then you have Forbidden City as well.
You don't got to tell me about thwart, bro. Fine. I'm
yeah,
a buyer.
You're on thwart. Yeah, you know
I'm a buyer.
Yeah, so I won that first match, but we both technically won, so we went on to the next match, and we had to play each other again, which
sweet. Was just like you drew it up.
which was actually he was on Black White, like Gerard's Verdict, like, you know, whatever. Dead guy. So he did have access to disenchants and stuff. I think my opponent would have actually won that match had he known the matchup a little bit better. He was pretty new to pre-modern. So he ended up disenchanting one of my stasises when I no longer had mana to pay for it, which basically it would have time walked me had he not done that. And I would have just lost it. And he would have had a disenchant for my next stasis. However, he got rid of it, allowed me to untap, and I just slammed another stasis. And I think that's a valuable lesson that he picked up off of that. But anyhow, so I went 2-1. My third round match was Survival of the Fittest deck. And that was, you know, it was a relatively short tournament. It was a lot of fun. And then I went on to play in another pre-modern tournament about an hour later. And that was with Full English Breakfast. And I got crushed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro, you're a stasis player.
I should just play stasis. I should really only have one pre-modern deck. Why do I have 17 pre-modern decks?
Play what you're good at. Play what you like.
Yeah.
Stasis all day.
Yeah. So what did you end up playing during the day on Friday?
I only played Legacy events all weekend. I played in the side event on Legacy. I immediately ran into Red White Initiative and got pummeled because I came to the event with my Miracles deck that I had been testing for months and months. And I was convinced that 4X Counterbalance was just going to be the absolute nut. I was like, I want to be on Triumph of St. Catherine. I want to be able to protect myself from Swords to Plowshares against the four color decks. Counterbalance by itself is already a haymaker against Delver. I'm like, I'm going to run this field. And then I didn't realize when Initiative came out, I knew it was going to be popular, but I didn't realize how popular because I didn't think so many players were going to have access to so many City of Traders.
Yeah.
So I took the gamble. I was like, yeah, Initiative is going to be a thing for people who both have City of Traders, want to play the deck, and then opt into playing that deck instead of whatever they were testing before for Eternal Weekend.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be a much lower percentage of the field. Now, granted, there was a large percentage of Initiative at the Four Seasons event, but that was an invitational event. It was like players that were invited to it. I was like, if they think Initiative is the best deck, they're probably going to be compiling the cards that they need if they don't own them from like their friends and stuff. I wasn't like, oh, everybody's got City of Traders. This will just be an easy deck for people to pick up.
Yeah.
Turns out I was fucking wrong.
You were wrong.
The number of Initiative decks at Eternal Weekend was absurd.
Well, you know what, Phil? I think we can attribute that to the fact that no one's playing Show and Tell anymore. And those are the cards that are in Show and Tell.
I guess so. But like Show and Tell was never on four cities.
No, you know? No. Two at most normally, I think.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I was very wrong. Yeah. And so I played the side event. I went against Red White Initiative. That deck's curve skips 1 and 2, which is exactly where my deck is situated to fight with Counterbalance.
Yeah.
So they just neglect the axis of which my deck was built upon and fucking rolled me.
Yeah.
So as I looked at the side events on Friday, I literally in my side event that I was in, I played against a Red White Initiative. Next to me on one side was a White Initiative player. On the other side of me was a White Initiative player. As I walked down to somebody one of the guys I was staying with for the event, he was sitting next to two players that were playing a White Initiative mirror. These are all different players in the same side event on Friday before the... So I was like, holy shit, I totally miscalled this. I was like, I'm going to be running into Delver and four color and combo all day.
Did you pivot at that point, Phil? Did you make any changes to your deck for the main event?
Yeah, so for the main event, I pivoted. I moved off of counterbalances and towards more card advantage and removal. Thinking that I was like, if I'm going to run into... I didn't move off of all of my counterbalances, but I did move off a bunch of them. And I still got punished, though. I should have moved off of all of them. I should have moved them. Right now, my list is I have counterbalances all in the sideboard because I think that if there are going to be more... Like, the decks where... Counterbalance is excellent. Combo, Delver. But if only Delver is a majority of the, is you know, 13 to 15% of the field, and then fast combo where you want counterbalance, like Storm is like another 4 to 5%. It's like, okay, against 20% of the field, I want these counterbalances. And that's definitely worth a chunk of my sideboard. But otherwise, I moved more towards Terminus and more towards card advantage and board control things, like a bunch of dress downs in the main. It ultimately wasn't enough. I should have gone a little bit harder. I hedged. I went halfway for the main event, but also all of my testing was around four counterbalance leading up to the main event. So by moving away from the strategy that I had prepared, I didn't have enough reps with the build that I brought.
Not to mention, a lot of that has to do with how you build your deck. That's a card that you build your deck around too.
Exactly.
So that becomes a factor even if you take them out.
So my numbers were skewed. I mean, ultimately what happened was I played against Red White Initiative in the main event round one, got bodied. And then round two, I played against a Karn, a mono black Karn Stompy Pox combo list, I guess. Either way, same thing. A Chalice Ancient Tomb Soul Land deck that skips over ones and twos outside of Pox and just doesn't care, give a shit about counterbalance in the slightest. All of the preparation that I had done for Eternal Weekend kind of went right out the door, and that I went up against nothing but Ancient Tomb decks in the early rounds. Both what I think are viable and not viable, but either way, my tournament ended very quickly, very early on. But the thing is, though, is I remember last time we were talking about a big event at the Legacy Pit, and I had switched into, instead of playing counterbalances, I played a bunch of arrows. I played like a control list because I was like, oh, I need to play the more powerful cards in a vacuum that I can win the tournament with. And I still scrubbed and had a horrible time. I was like, this deck is awful. I don't like enjoying this. I got beaten up a lot all weekend, you know, outside of the side events that we'll talk about, but that you and I were both in. I got beat up a lot outside of the Delver matchups. Like, I was happy to play against Delver when I played it. But otherwise, like, the Ancient Tombs decks just kind of rolled me. But at the same time, I still had a blast because I was playing something that I actually enjoyed playing. So even though I was getting rolled, I learned a bunch of things that I needed to tweak about the deck that I enjoyed playing. And so it didn't feel like it was, despite having put so much work in, expecting to do well, and then just getting bodied early on, it didn't feel bad because I was still enjoying myself playing the deck that I enjoy playing. So that also a thing where it's like, if it doesn't work out, go back to the drawing board, switch up your cards. But if you enjoy a certain deck list, don't feel the need that you have to go into the tier one decks if you don't actually enjoy them. Because, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, unless you're looking to spike and not have a good time, unless you win, like, sure. But otherwise, like, I did way more losing than I did winning. Still had an absolute blast.
I probably ended up pretty even on the weekend as far as match win-loss ratio is concerned. But the main event, so I played 8-cast, which was, it was my first time playing this in paper. Like, my first match was sitting down with you to like play the deck in real life the morning before. And then we went right into the main event. And of course, literally, I want to say his name's Dominic, a listener on cast, was my first round opponent. And he was playing your deck, like, to the card, it seemed like, which is bad for me because you have things like Mystic Dispute. Your deck is just is actually beat. Built to that it would also have game against 8-cast.
The actual magic of being able to Mystical Dispute for one mana through a chalice feels so good. Yeah. It's so dirty and it feels so good.
Yeah. So my first game I got against him, and then the second game he never went below 15 life. Like, I was 2-for-1-ing him constantly, and he was doing the same thing back to me, and I just, you know, eventually a very long game I just got pounded. The third game he ended up getting me much quicker, and so I had sort of resolved myself to, like, okay, like, that's just bad beats. Like, who knew, like, the guy, someone would play this deck that is built to beat your deck, you know.
I wouldn't say it's built to beat the deck.
Well,
I
actually think that, like, it's with that in mind, at least.
It's still a tough matchup, and you know, it's very dependent on the play draw. But, you know, I may have influenced your first loss in the main event, but teaser, you got me back later. So
So in the next round, I played against Blue Red Delver. I don't have enough reps in with 8-cast, and my opponent got Iconoclast down on, like, the first game and rolled me. And then the second game, he just got me again. And so I was like, okay, like, you know what? I'm 0-2. I'm going to drop. I have this Play All Weekend badge. I'm going to play all weekend. And I went to look at all the Play All Weekend events, and they were all not Legacy because everyone else would be playing Legacy on the big board. So all I had was, like, one EDH deck that was, like, Ur-Dragon and some pre-modern decks. And the next thing up was a CEDH match. And I was like, whatever, like, I came to, you know, I'm just here to get some value out of this thing. I'll play that. I ended up winning my first round in the CDH match because my opponents were playing, like, sort of
past you.
An FU strategy to the whole board. So they were like, yeah, normally when I play, like, the worst deck on the board wins. So I eventually had, like, Dragon Tempest, Utavora Hellkite, and, like, I swung in and, like, did 6 damage to one guy, making, like, 4 dragons. And, like, did like the rest of the other guy and killed him. Yeah, it was pretty wild. That was pretty fun. And it was a challenge. So it went to another match, and somebody just, like, consult Thassa's Oracle really early in the second match.
What CDH is what you're actually expecting?
I mean, that's what I play. I'm still griping to my friends, to my pod about is right before that, there was a pot of three people that were looking for a fourth. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know what? Like, hey, I'll jump in for a fourth. And this was regular casual EDH, you know, just regular, like, you know, sign up for EDH. And I was like, yeah, I'll spend the $10 and, like, sign up with you guys and play, right? And so I show up, I sit down, and, you know, you have that Rule Zero conversation. I'm like, hey, guys, like, here's how my pod rolls. Just so you guys know what my power level is. Like, I'm playing the Ur Dragon. My pod doesn't even play Soul Ring. You know, we don't play Blind Tutors, blah, blah. And no one says a word. Like, everyone just, like, crickets. I'm like, okay. Like I said, I'm just telling you what power level I have. I only have one deck. Slam it down. Opponent. My first turn is, like, tapped Dragon Skull Summit. Go. And my opponent's like, Crypt, Signet, this thing, that thing, go. The next guy's like, Deathrite Shaman, go. The next guy's like, Crypt, Signet, land, Winter Orb. And I'm like, oh my God, you guys are all playing CEDH and you didn't say anything to me?
Yeah, dude, you got bodied. They knew. Yeah, they knew. So you got walked in, you got broken into that.
Look, as people who play Legacy who are listening to this and going like, what is even happening? If you're playing CEDH at a side event and you're looking for a fourth for like a paid event and you don't tell the fourth guy that like, hey, yeah, we're all playing CEDH, I probably still would have played, but like, that's so rude. It's so incredibly rude to just be like, yeah, we were all just going to body this guy, like, who didn't even know. Like, he even had a Rule Zero conversation with us and no one said a word, you know?
You got to play around it. You just got to play around.
Ridiculous. And that's like the antithesis of what EDH is. If you're playing CEDH, you really do need to tell people, like, hey, like, that's what we're doing at this pod, especially if you're like having someone spend, it's petty, it's $10, it doesn't mean anything, but it's like so rude. Anyhow,
also I think you should also do that if you play against me in a Legacy event. You should tell me what you're on and the power level of your deck.
Yeah, of course. I think that's fair.
I would appreciate that too. Yeah.
So yeah, I left that with a bad taste in my mouth, and so we ended the day pretty much at that point, and we were hungry.
You and I were hungry.
We were hungry. Yeah, you and I were.
You and
hungry.
I in a group. You and I in a group of people were hungry, bro. For the first time in my life, I tried a nitro beer that wasn't a stout or a porter. I tried an IPA that was nitro and it was amazing.
Yeah, we
it
went to the South life. Philly Tap Room, a local by where I live.
Overhauled my whole life. It changed my whole career when I tried a nitro IPA. So now I know. Now I know my future going into it.
Yeah, I think the best decision any of us made that day was to just go to the South Philly Tap Room.
Yeah, the place was awesome. 10 out of 10 would go again. We both scrubbed out of the main event. I just called the room wrong. It seems like you just needed more reps with your deck. But then we ended up playing the next day in a side event where we were both in the same side event and we were both the fucking end bosses, bro.
Yeah, dude. Side event end boss, right? Like my first match was against Cloud Post. Just got in there, Chalice on one. He couldn't play anything. And I just like ran in. I even like did like, I think he did like 13 or, you know, 14 damage to himself with Glacial Chasm. I just like stopped that guy from playing Magic.
Yeah, bro. Stop him.
Friend of the show, by the way. I forget his name now, but that like turn one Chalice situation, I had it like every game against him. He got me, think on the first game he got me with Ulamog, and and I kind of learned my lesson. Things started to, like, the gears started coming together and working for me with 8-cast at that point. So I kind of understood the deck well enough to know, like, what I should be doing. And shout out to Yale Kong, known Cloud Post player. I still remember those reps, so I had that going for me.
Yeah, oddly enough, Chalice on one hoses Cloud Post pretty hard given the number of one drops they have between Reclaimer and Crop Rot and Pithing Needle, which is a relevant card against you.
Yeah.
Even though they normally name Wasteland, but against you, they can just name Emery, Urza Saga, like a bunch of stuff in your deck that you care about having. So, it's pretty hysterical how the deck full of 10, 12, and 15 drops actually gets hurt really badly by a Chalice on one.
You know, my biggest play in the second game was actually like realizing that, because I didn't see the Reclaimer until the second game. So his turn one play was Reclaimer and my turn one play was Chalice, and or my turn two play was Chalice because I was on the play. And so I was like, okay, well, here we go. And so I stopped him for a lot of the game, but eventually I was able to use Otawara to bounce his Reclaimer, and that was like the play of the game, because then he was kind of locked out at that point.
Yeah, get him,
because he had, like I said, he did like 16 I think to himself with Glacial Chasm. Like, he had a lot of time. That was my first match. The second match was the mirror. And I have never played the mirror. in 8-cast before. Shout out to Francesco, who I played in the second round. That was a really interesting matchup. And the beauty of that was that this conversation that you and I had had maybe days earlier completely changed how I approached that matchup, because I had access to Haywire Might in my board.
Very powerful.
Yeah, it was ridiculously good. Like, I was able to get, like, because so much of 8-cast, like, first off, just to validate my why would you put a green card in a blue deck, you have 12 green sources basically in that deck between Petals and Opals, and then being able to get Opals with your Urza Saga. So, like, I had no problem activating my my Might ever. But being able to recur at one, which is amazing, but also get rid of Life stuff game. Like Retrofitter Foundry or Shadow Spear, like, just amazing.
Yeah, that really, I mean, it deals with non-creature artifacts,
yeah,
which is outside of the constructs is pretty much all of the artifacts outside of Kappa Cannoneer that you care about. So,
yeah,
because, you know, otherwise the deck is just Emrys and Size and stuff. So yeah, it's a big haymaker that I'm surprised when you said it was in your sideboard. I would just assume that by this point it's in the main.
I'm playing two in the board. I might play one in the main now. I don't know that, like, I really like, so first off, that Judge Retrofitter Foundry that's old bordered, man, I need that. I got like almost my whole deck in old bordered.
I might end up
putting that in the sideboard. Retrofitter Foundry didn't do a whole lot for me. Against the decks it should be good against, you have Prismatic Ending, and it just like makes it irrelevant. So I don't know. I'm feeling Retrofitter Foundry might not be as good as it used to be. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of decks that move into the board. I remember there was a bunch of European players that were on 8-cast for a while when 8-cast was the hotness, and they just streamlined the deck to get rid of the Chafe. And so the only tutors that they were playing for Urza Saga was an Aether Spell Bomb and the other artifacts that they were already playing. Like, even Shadow Spear for them was moved to the sideboard.
Oh, wow.
Because they were like, we just want to be the cleanest, most efficient deck. I like Shadow Spear a lot,
mostly just because it's generally like an extra 2 damage if you're putting
a construct.
A construct. You're like adding an artifact, you're giving it +1/+1.
I think that the Shadow Spear is definitely worth the main board slot now, since the, you know, two decks that are both 13% of the field are Delver and
Initiative. You're racing.
And both of those decks are soft to a big Baneslayer, right? So
that makes
a lot of sense. I for the same side event that we were in, I actually took my advice immediately, and I moved my counterbalances and triumphs to the board.
Oh,
and so my sideboard was just 4 counterbalance, 4 triumph, and then a bunch of other spells to try out for the side event. And what I did was I moved into just like a very classic, clean miracles build with 3 Jace the Mind Sculptor, 3 Terminus, an Entreat in the main, a lot of Snapcasters, a couple of dress downs. Like, I became just like a much more classic miracles Jace Terminus control deck.
Yeah,
that's trying to control the board as opposed to the stack, like just more focus on controlling the board, where I thought it would matter against initiative decks. And it was a good call for like that side event. I mean, I was cleaning up. People are just like, we're not playing around Terminus in any meaningful way, and catching them with fun play that people just didn't notice in terms of play patterns was, if I have a fetch, if I have at least 3 islands and I have 1 land up and a fetch, so I have 2 mana essentially, I can fetch Mystic Sanctuary, put a Terminus back on top, brainstorm, and then still cast that Terminus. So I effectively have a 2 mana instant speed Terminus that I can choose whether or not I want, which is a really powerful play to control the board if we're in a position where you can't remove that Terminus from my yard or stifle the fetch or something. So it ended up...
I realized it.
Yeah, dude. recurring Terminus was just like the thing that got me. And then, so let's get into it, man. So you and I, end bosses of the side event, we meet in the finals. We meet in the finals. Our games are back and forth. They're tight. Game 2... I forget. I got game 1, right? Is that right?
Yeah, you got game 1, and then game 2 went long.
Game 2 went really long, and I remember I punted because I didn't get a second white source that I needed to turn on an unexpectedly absent in my hand to get rid of both a problem that I needed and then also stop your Emory from recurring something that I couldn't beat. And
game 2 is when I brought in that Soul Guide Lantern, and it like changed the game for me.
Yeah, dude, I punted that so hard by not getting the second white source, and I was like, all right, it's okay. I punted. But we're going to go into game 3.
Like, 3 minutes left.
With 3 minutes left. And we're like, we're doing it. Let's go. And then, of course, Zach's like, 3 minutes left? This will be easy. And goes turn 1, Urza Saga. Turn 2, makes a construct at sorcery speed. Proceeds to dump his hand and play a Kappa Cannoneer. I'm like, bro, I haven't even...
You were like, whoa, a sorcery speed guy? I'm like, yeah.
I literally, you made a sorcery speed construct, and I sarcastically went, sorcery speed construct, very powerful. And then you proceeded to just dump your hand and play a Kappa Cannoneer.
I had no cards in hand after that. Yeah.
The only game action I had taken at that point was lay a fetch. And I'm already staring down a lethal clock. And I'm like, what the fuck, dude? You've got 17 power on turn two. What am I supposed to?
I untapped and attacked. This is what happened.
Yeah. And I went down to four. But luckily, I was able to use my cantrips to find myself one of the many Termini that I had. Terminus the board, thought I was stable, but then
Terminus everything but the the next construct, right?
I don't remember.
I remember
the follow-up. The follow-up right afterwards, I remember, because what did you do, Zach? Do you not recall what you did?
Did I attack you? Don't tell me.
You attacked me for lethal, but you know what you did? You went turn two, Kappa Cannoneer on the play. I terminused you in the only turn that I had available to me, and then you went, whatevs, Kappa Cannoneer again.
Sometimes I top deck well.
My plan is to terminus you and then Mystic Sanctuary loop my terminus. The thing is that you killed me before I got to a fourth land drop. Yeah. So I couldn't even do it.
Sometimes we do
I was so close to becoming the champion of the pod.
Yeah, that would have been weird. You would have had to be like, hello and welcome to Eternal Durrells. I'm Phil Bleckman, and with me as always, Zach Clark.
Dude, I was ready. I've been practicing that for years at this point. I was so close. It would have been a whole different show. I just needed that Kappa Cannoneer to be one card further down so I could recoup my turn. The beats. But yeah. That was sick. It was cool getting to both scrub and then still getting the keepsake of being able to play each other in the
We got to get a t-shirt that says side event end boss.
Yeah, that's the new subtitle of the podcast. We're Eternal Durrells, side event end bosses. That was my weekend. That was your weekend. We luckily get another big event coming up in January. We have SCG Con that's going to have both a Legacy 10K and a Legacy 5K.
Where's that? So,
in Jersey, bro. In Jersey.
That's at the abandoned Walmart is the New Jersey GP area.
Yeah, every time they have a GP in Jersey, it's always at the Meadowlands Exposition Center or whatever. Yes,
that abandoned Walmart that they have.
Yeah. But the thing is that like it's a really big venue and it's super easy to get to.
I like the venue. Yeah, I'll come up for that. And then after that, we've got, again, come right back down to Philadelphia for Magic 30.
For Magic 30, right back in Philadelphia. So we're going to get a lot of Legacy action. Eternal Durrells side event end bosses is, we're going to refresh ourselves for 2023 and, hopefully bring home a trophy.
All right. Well, I think that kind of does it for us this week. This will probably be the last cast for the year. There might be a little bit of bonus content before the end of the year. If not, we're going to, we'll see you. We'll see you in 2023. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to the video. Go back and like all the other videos. Help us out. Give us, comment on stuff. Oh, I almost forgot something I wanted to share with you all. Because we were able to win enough to get a somewhat amount of prize support, we will be giving away starting in 2023 at the beginning of each cast to both our Patreons and anybody who commented and on the video. You'll be put in a pool, and we picked up the 30-year anniversary advent calendar, so we'll be just shuffling one random card from that, and we'll draw somebody to win a card. So make sure you comment. It'll count this video and the video, it'll count the last video every time, and then our Patreon supporters too. So if you want to join on Patreon, you can go for as low as a buck. We don't even care. This is just for fun. I'm just happy to be able to give something back to people.
And for anybody who doesn't know, the advent calendar is that product where there's a card from each year with the year printed on it, celebrating each year. So it's like there's like the Finn Horrendels and the Sarah Angel and like all of that in like
plastic
foils and stuff and Chromox.
Necropotence. Unbanned Necropotence.
All the cool stuff.
But yeah, so we're going to, everybody who commented, all of our Patreon supporters, you can find us at patreon.com/EternalDurrells. It always helps to just click on, click like and on here, comment. The comments are what's going to get you an entry. So I don't care how you comment, as long as it's not something that's going to be a community violation. Say, I want in, that's fine too. But I think that's it for us this week. This might be it for us this year. We do have some music stuff in the works So we'll see if we can put that out before the end of the year. And I think that's it, Phil.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah, bro.
Happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Happy holidays to everybody else out there. And we'll catch you on the flip.
Bro. It's Forza Philip on the track. Yo, I didn't think about it this way before. But when I stopped casting Brainstorm, I realized all you players are Junders. You're just a bunch of Junders, bro. Two for ones in top decks. Green Sun Zenith prospects. Well, if you don't cast Thoughtseize turn one, then I don't want to hear no chat about blunders. You players are Junders. Lilies and Bobs and Oozes. Tomagoid Bruises. Kolaghan's Command Chooses. Discard Shatterer Twofers. Disentomb Endurance, Punishing Fires Looping, and you losing cause we him into Tarak. So you're playing off the top, cascading always goes for broke. Lightning gonna hit you with the smoke. These braids are flapping off your blood. Tap 4, we cast a Dracula. Collect another trophy, assassinate you when we play Enchantress. We back to nature, so pay 8 life, you fucking coward. Flex your grip like it's full of power. Forget the student debt you're racking. Master losers just keep attacking. Who cares if Uro blanks your deck? We're in too deep to course correct. We're some availed, we'll cling to dust. Curse the cup all the way Lily does.
Bruh. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you just yet, but if you ain't casting Brainstorm, then you gotta keep the fucking pressure on him.
Jund will fuck up D&T. Wrath the board, pernicious deed. They'll rebuild while we're engineering explosive. Side of clearing, but please don't try to go recruiting. Last hope will smack it and abuse it.
This is madness!
Stay to push, commit war crimes, George W. Bush.
Bruh, I get it, all the good cards are in blue. And Murktide is an absolute fucking beating.
But if you don't cast Thoughtseize turn one, then I don't want to hear no qualms about dragons. Pyroblasting, fuck escaping Uro and his dumb play patterns. Surgical extraction, calls games like James Madden. Tough acting to enacting, and now we're gaining some traction by dashing in Ragavan the Goat, casting cards off the deck. And if they be playing blue, then they'll show us some respect. We used to play the cards and traded one for one, but then they changed the bar and that was undone. And now the black cards were unplayable, but we jumped so hard we're unassailable.